WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 9th of December, 2020. My name is Arthur. And this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio here in Medford. For this week, I'm going to have a double billing. I was told when I told somebody I was going to do this radio show, they said, well, you better play Westerns. So today's a double billing of Norman McDonald's famous Gunsmoke series. First up is episode 47, Cyclone, with an original air date of the 14th of March, 1953. Thanks.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. Ladies and gentlemen, later on tonight's program, you'll hear a special message from the Honorable Edward F. Arne, Governor of the state of Kansas. But now we bring you the first act of Gunsmoke.
I'll swear it's going to be spring before we know it, Mr. Dillon.
This weather won't hold, Chester. We always got a rip snorter after a spell like this.
It sure don't look much like it today. I even heard a meadowlark this morning.
It's early for meadowlarks, isn't it?
Yes, sir, that's what I'm telling you. Spring is downright staring us in the face. Well, the Texas trail's kind of lively for this time of the afternoon.
That'll be livelier if you're right about spring and those trail herds start rolling in.
Well, look who's here. And in the daytime, too.
Well, howdy, Miss Kitty.
Miss Kitty.
Isn't it wonderful out? And guess what, Matt? I heard a meadowlark this morning.
You and Chester.
Huh?
I've been telling him, Miss Kitty, spring is just around the corner.
Kitty?
Yeah?
How come there's such a crowd in here?
Oh, you mean the boys at the bar?
Yeah.
Well, it's some of the riders from the Cyclone Ranch. They're celebrating.
Well, it seems to me they were celebrating Saturday night. They're making kind of a long weekend out of it, aren't they?
Well, Jim Paulson said they all went back to the ranch Monday morning, but they got paid off.
Well?
Yeah, the ranch was sold.
Sold? You mean old man Bartlett sold out? Well, I hadn't heard anything about it.
Well, that's what they said. The new owner had already taken over, some stranger. He's the one who paid him off. He brought his own riders with him.
Well, what's this stranger's name, Kitty?
Well, I don't know, Matt. Ed Revere over there was Bartlett's foreman. Ask him.
Yeah, I think I will. Excuse me.
I figured old man Bartlett would stay on...
Howdy, Marshal. Figure on throwing us into Hooskow?
No, Ed, I wasn't planning on it. Do you happen to know where I can find old man Bartlett?
Well, afraid you're out of luck. Him and his wife's left the country. At least, that's what the fellow that bought the ranch told us.
You mean he didn't even stay around to pay you off?
Nope. Made up his mind right sudden, I reckon. Guess this fella Jed Wade made him a mighty good offer.
Jed Wade, huh?
Yeah. Texas man, more than likely. Ain't from around here, anyways. None of his cowboys, neither.
Then you haven't seen old man Bartlett since you left the ranch and came into town Saturday morning, huh?
Mary hide her hair.
And he didn't say anything last week about planning to sell?
No, didn't. Sure can't figure old man Bartlett selling out. Said he put half his life into that place and planned on living out the rest of it right there.
Well, listen, Ed, let me ask you something. What do you figure about all this?
I don't know, Marshal. Except that it ain't quite right somehow.
You don't think there's something crooked about it, do you?
Marshal, I don't know what to think. But it just ain't like Bartlett to run out this way. If there's anything I can do...
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ed.
Marshal, I don't even have to look it up in the records. There's been no deed of sale on the Cyclone Ranch filed in this office. If there had, I'd know about it.
Yeah, well, all right, thanks. That's all I wanted to know.
Furthermore, there won't be one filed. Old man Bartlett will live out his life and die right there. You take it from me.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured.
Mr. Dillon?
Oh, come on in, Chester.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mifflin.
Oh, quite all right, sir. I believe our business is completed.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you find out, Chester?
I checked the depot and the stage lines, Mr. Dillon, and nobody in town hasn't seen either one of them since last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right, Chester, I guess we better ride out to the ranch.
Looks like that new outfit brought some of their own cattle up from Texas, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. And they're wasting no time slapping a brand on them, either.
Want to take a look at them?
No. Let's ride on up to the house.
I sure can't figure it, Mr. Dillon. Working night and day to build up a good feeder ranch like this and then up and selling out without even thinking it over.
Well, I can't figure it either, Chester. Oh.
Oh. Golly, it sure is a fine ranch.
We ain't hiring anybody. Better mount up and ride.
Are you Jed Wade?
Name's Dallas. I'm the range boss.
Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Mr. Wade here?
He's out in the barn. What do you want to see him about?
Well, suppose I take that up with him, huh?
And suppose you turn around and hightail it out of here. Whenever Jed's got business with the law, he'll come to you.
Now, look, mister.
Dallas? You hadn't ought to talk to visitors that way.
Jed don't want strangers hanging around, Miss Wade. And he don't want you talking to strangers either. You better go on back in the house.
I guess I know better than you what my own son wants. I'm the only one that understands him. You come right on inside, gentlemen.
Mr. Dillon, did you say that was the name?
Yes, ma'am, that's right. This is my partner, Chester Proudfoot.
How do, ma'am?
How do?
You fellas wait right there. I'll go get Jed.
I think we'll accept the lady's invitation. After you, ma'am.
Why, thank you, Mr. Dillon. Surely does perk a body up to be having callers in her own house. Especially when you live so long from hand to mouth.
Understand that you're new here, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Yes, we were camped for 3 weeks down along the river. Nary a caller, just living in a wagon. Oh, do be seated, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ain't this a real pretty place now? Why, when Jed and Dallas rode back to camp Sunday morning and said they just bought a real bargain, I couldn't dream they meant something like this. A body just can't figure why the owners would ever want to sell it and leave. Would you gentlemen care for some cold buttermilk?
No, thank you, ma'am. Didn't meet the owners yourself then, huh?
No. They're already gone when I came over. Oh, you mustn't mind Dallas, Mr. Dillon. He's really a good boy at heart. Him and Jed just picked up a habit of talking mean like that sometimes, and seems like people just don't understand it. Mr. Dillon, Jed ain't got himself into some kind of trouble again, has he?
Again, Mrs. Wade?
Well, it's like I said. People just don't understand Jed lots of times. It ain't easy to bring up a boy alone, and a body don't always know what's the right way to do and what's not. But Jed's real good-hearted down underneath. Once you understand him like I do, why the way he even talks to me sometimes, it makes you think that he was... Well, son, I...
What did I tell you about mouthing off to strangers?
But I was...
Go on back and get in the kitchen.
Well, all right, son. You said so.
She's getting old, and it's been a hard trip up here. Dallas told me you was here, Marshal. What can I do for you? What do you want?
I'd like to see your bill of sale for this ranch, Mr. Wade.
What for?
Well, I'll tell you after I see it.
Are you trying to accuse me of something?
Not if you got a bill of sale signed by old man Bartlett. Well?
All right, Marshal. Take a look.
Uh-huh.
Satisfied now?
Where did the Bartletts go, Mr. Wade?
They said they was leaving the country, and that's all I know about it. Yeah, you want to give me back my bill of sale now?
Well, I'd like to take it into town and check the signature, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. It'll check.
And then you got nothing to worry about, have you?
Nary thing, Marshal. Now, I don't know what's on your mind, but you're barking up wrong tree.
You ask me, Mr. Dillon, I'd say that Wade and his partner are ornery enough for anything. Just plumb, cussed, downright, sneakin' mean.
Maybe so, Chester. But you can't jail a man for meanness, not as long as it only comes out in words.
I suppose. There ought to be a law of some kind. Now, take like the way he talks to his mama. I don't see how she can put up with it.
She's his mother, Chester.
Well, I know that, but there's
hello,
no...
Hello, Matt.
Oh, hiya, Doc.
Yeah, just getting ready to close up the office. How about feeding with me?
Later, maybe, Doc. Doc, you still got that bill of sale on that horse you bought last fall from old man Bartlett?
Sure, I guess so, Matt. Why?
Well, I just want to check Bartlett's signature.
Why, what do you got there? I know his signature pretty well. Let me take a look at that now, man.
Here. See what you think, huh?
Yes, that's old man Bartlett's scrawl, all right, of course it is.
Well, maybe I was wrong.
Yes, sir. Looks that way, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. But only about the bill of sale, Chester. We still don't know what happened to the Bartletts.
Time it is with great pride that Gunsmoke is able to bring you a specially recorded message by the Honorable Edward F. Arne, Governor of the State of Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Arne.
It's a real pleasure for me on behalf of Kansans everywhere to congratulate the CBS Radio Network, the writers, producers, directors, actors, and technicians on the splendid job you are doing with Gunsmoke. Here is real adult Western drama. Without the usual horse opera cliches portraying an era and community of Kansas that graphically marked the formative years of our great state. Let me point out, however, the Dodge City of today is a far cry from the Dodge City so vividly brought to life in Gunsmoke. From those early pioneer and frontier days, Dodge City has developed into one of the fine cities of our state, industrially, agriculturally, and historically. The folks of Dodge City, and indeed all the people of this great sunflower state, thank you for a good job well done.
Thank you, Governor Arne. And now the second act of Gunsmoke.
In town tonight, Mr. Dillon. In here, too. Must be the feel of spring in the air. Get the man on the prod, makes him feel good.
Not me, Chester.
Yes, sir, I've been noticing that. You haven't said one dozen words in the last hour. It don't do a man any good to stay down in the dumps that way.
Yeah, drink your beer.
Well, now, we just made a mistake, that's all. Got the wind up over nothing.
Now we know it's old man Bartlett's signature, but I just can't help feeling that we haven't made a mistake.
Well, maybe you ought to make one, Matt.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
Everybody ought to make a mistake once in a while. Keeps them from getting old.
Or else helps them along.
What's your trouble, Matt?
Feeling that somebody's guilty of not being able to prove it.
It's that Cyclone Ranch business, Miss Kitty.
Now, I know Bartlett didn't sell out.
His signature is on that bill of sale, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, but a man can be made to sign something, Chester.
Well, why don't you find Mr. Bartlett and ask him?
Well, I'd settle for just finding him. I don't think I'd need to do any more asking.
Do you mean that the way it sounds, Matt?
Yeah. I know I'm jumping at conclusions, but now, the way things add up, it's the only answer that makes any sense.
Well, I hope you're wrong, Matt.
Well, so do I, but I don't think I am.
Anyway, there's not much you can do about it right now. Why don't you forget it for a while? How about a round of drinks, Matt, in honor of spring?
Spring, huh? You and Chester.
Well, it is, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, even the coyotes feel it. Did you hear him just after dark tonight yapping down along the river bottom?
Yeah, I heard him. Kitty, would you mind if we had that drink later?
Well, all right. But where are you going?
Well, I just thought that Chester and I might take a little ride, that's all. Hold up a minute, Chester.
Yes. Be all right to roll a cigarette, Mr. Dillon?
No, you better not. We're too close to the Bartlett place.
Miss Kitty sure was right about those coyotes. Every one of them and his brothers out tonight, all yapping their fool heads off.
Yeah.
You suppose those coyotes really know it's spring coming, Mr. Dillon?
That could be.
They're sure scattered all over the countryside.
Now, there seems to be more of them off there toward the river bottom, though.
Yes, sir. Maybe you're right, Mr. Dillon. Wonder why.
I don't know. Might be worthwhile taking a look.
Yes, sir.
Come on. You know, it sounds to me like most of those coyotes are up around those river bluffs there by the bend.
Yes, Mr. Dillon, I believe it does at that.
Come on, Chester, let's ride over that way. They're on the other side of that willow thicket.
All right.
Now, let's cut through the thicket here.
Yeah. Must be awful interested in something, or they sure wouldn't let us get this close.
Well, I guess they heard you, Chester. I think most of them are over there at the foot of the bank. Let's take a look. Come on.
Chunk of the bank's caved off there, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Yeah, but the coyotes didn't do it. I've been trying to dig something up, not bury it. I wish there was more moonlight.
Yes, sir. Well, if you'd have told me what we were up to, I could have brought a lantern.
Well, I didn't know we were going to run into anything, Chester.
Yes, sir.
See if you can find a stick and let's scratch around in this loose dirt, huh?
All right, sir. Anybody tried to tell me this morning that I'd be out here in the middle of the night digging in that dirt like a groundhog, not even knowing what the same hill I was...
What is it, Chester? Did you find something?
Yes, sir. I sure have.
Here, let me see.
Mighty lucky hunch you had, Mr. Dillon.
Well, now we know why nobody saw the Bartletts leave town.
They killed him. They killed both of them.
Yeah. After they made him sign that bill of sale. Hit the dirt, Chester. It came from the edge of the bank up there. Watch for the next flash.
Yes, sir.
Is that you, Wade?
Just to the left of that sumac, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I saw it. You're under arrest for murder, Wade. Now throw down that gun and come out of there with your hands up. All right, Chester, let's open up on him. Careful, Chester. You may be faking it.
Yes, sir. Only one thing, Mr. Dillon. It's not Wade. It's Dallas.
Then let's go find Wade.
Ranch is dark. Looks like they're all in bed.
It may be easier that way.
Yes, sir.
I wish there was some way of keeping his mother out of it. I don't see how it can be.
Dallas? Is that you? Did you scare the coyotes away? I heard the shooting and I...
It's not Dallas, ma'am.
Why, it's the marshal and Mr. Proudfoot. At this time of night. Well, this is quite a surprise.
Yes, ma'am, I reckon so. Is Jed here?
Well, I guess so. Maybe he's out in the barn or somewhere. What's wrong, Mr. Dillon? I sure do hope Jed ain't in some kind of trouble.
I just want to talk to him, Miss Wayner. Why don't you go on back in the house, huh? And we'll see if we can find him.
Well, all right, if you think best. You just go straight on back through the barn. I reckon you'll find him, all right.
Thank you, ma'am.
It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I know. Keep yourself covered.
I will. Sounds like he's working back there.
Yeah.
Bartlett put up enough prairie hay here to last for 3 years.
Right on back, Dallas. Just about got these here running irons finished.
Dallas won't be needing any running irons, Wade, or anything else. He's dead. We found where you buried the Bartletts.
That's where that shooting was. You and Dallas.
You're under arrest for murder, Wade. And if you make a move, you're going to end up the same way Dallas did.
How could I do anything, Marshal? I got no gun.
I noticed it hanging on the wall there behind you. You leave it there.
Sure.
Now lay down that hammer and stick out your wrist.
Sure. Anything you say?
Smash the lantern, Mr. Dillon!
Don't watch it, Chester. You'll have his gun now. Get back, Chester. Get back toward the door.
I can't see a thing in all this smoke.
Yeah, that haze is dry as powder. This burn's going to go up like a tinderbox. Wade! You haven't got a chance. Now come on out of there while you still can.
Why don't you come back here and get me?
You crazy fool.
Come on out now!
The heat's getting awful bad, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know.
Back toward the door, Chester. We're going to have to get out of here.
Yes, sir. Let's go out. Take it in.
Hold tight, Chester.
Even for a man like Wade, that's not a good way to die, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, no way is when you come right down to it, Chester.
Ted! My son, Ted! He's in there, Eddie. He's there with all that fire.
I'm sorry, ma'am,
you've got to do something. You've got to go get him out of there.
No. I'm afraid there's no use, ma'am.
I'll go in there myself.
No, no, no. It's too late to help me.
I always knowed it was going to end like this sometime. I always knowed it.
I'm sorry, Miss Wade.
Jed done something real bad, didn't he, Mr. Dillon? Him and Dallas. That's why you come back here.
Yes, ma'am, I'm afraid so. They killed the people who owned this ranch. They buried them down along the riverbank.
Those boys done a lot of bad things, Mr. Dillon. But I don't hold with killing.
I'm sorry it had to happen this way, ma'am.
Mr. Dillon, I'd like to ask a favor.
Oh, why, certainly, ma'am.
I come out here in a wagon. It's out back of the house. Now that it's getting light, if you'd hitch up my team to it, I'd like to go back to town with you.
Chester.
Yes, Mr. Dillon, I'll do it.
I'll just take what I brought, Mr. Dillon. Nothing else.
Well, just as you like, ma'am.
It's all in the trunk. Funny thing. I never did unpack it.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were V.V. Janis, Harry Bartell, Lawrence Dobkin, Joe Cranston, and Jerry Hausner. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety.
WMFO Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that FCC obligation. The first half of the show, we heard episode 47 of Gunsmoke, titled Cyclone, then original air date of the 14th of March, 1953. This week, I'm doing a double billing of Gunsmoke, so we'll have the second half of the show. This is episode 77, How to Die for Nothing, then original air date of the 10th of October, 1953. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Gunsmoke, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. Say, if there ever was a cereal designed to boost a family's breakfast morale, it's new Sugar Crinkles. Why, that sugar rice treat that's just right sweet makes breakfast more fun than a circus. Come breakfast time, just pour on milk, and you've got a breakfast main dish as you like it. Those golden nuggets of sugar-coated rice we call Sugar Crinkles are really special. Not too sweet, the way some sugar-coated cereals seem to be, and not like others that don't seem sweet enough. Sugar Crinkles really are the sugar rice treat that's just right sweet. And whether you eat them from the bowl for breakfast, from the pack as a snack, or both ways, you love Sugar Crinkles. Try them soon. And now, Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad.
Hand me that bottle, Zach. Been a long, dusty trail up from Texas. I don't care to ride into Dodge sober.
Stay on that. Now, don't kill it. I come up the same trail you did. I'm just as dry.
I hope I never see another Mosshorn steer. Now, I'm going to settle down and be a bartender or something easy like that.
Tomorrow you'll wish you was back trailing cattle. You wish you never seen Dodge. Hey, come on, my turn on that bottle.
By tomorrow, maybe there won't be no Dodge. Maybe we'll have torn it plumb apart.
Oh! Yeah. Hey, hear the cougar howl tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, then look yonder.
What?
That there's Alafraganza. Let's start with it.
Tell them we're here, Zach. Show them how we live in Texas.
All right, hold it there.
Put a bullet through his hat, Zach. Shoot his heels away.
Get down off those horses.
Why, sure, I'll get down, mister. That's what I come here for. All the way from Texas.
You're welcome here, but don't get any notions about shooting up this town.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm a U.S. Marshal. And I'll take your gun till you're sober enough to carry it again.
Nobody takes my gun.
All right, then ride back to camp.
Don't let him buffalo you, Zach.
He won't.
Mister, I'm staying. Me and my gun. And there'll be a marshal for breakfast if you try to stop me.
All right, I won't.
I'm gonna kill you for doing that.
That was awful close, Mr. Dillon. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, another drunken cowboy with more fire than sense.
Well, you had to kill him.
Yeah. Take his gun, Chester.
Yes, sir. Give me that.
Don't shoot me.
No, nobody ain't gonna shoot you, mister.
Get on your feet.
Yeah,
come on, get it.
Oh. Busted my head.
You'll be all right. But your friend tried to shoot me. He's dead.
Huh? You killed him.
To keep him from killing me.
There'd be trouble about this, Marshal.
No. Don't you get anything like that started.
Oh, not me. His brother, Howard Bulow. He's out the camp. I know him, Marshal. He'd come after you.
All right, I'll be here.
He won't be like that. Howard wouldn't face no gunfighter. He shoots you in the back or from alley at night. I know him, Marshal. It'll happen.
You want to bury your friend here or take him back to camp?
I'll take him back to camp.
All right, we'll help you tie him across his horse. We can use his rope, Chester.
Yes, sir.
There's more coffee here, Matt.
No, thanks, Kitty.
Can't say I blame you. You'd think a restaurant like Delmonico's could at least make good coffee.
I never saw a woman yet who didn't find fault with everybody's cooking but her own.
Women have more taste than men. That's
yeah,
all.
Sure. More arguments, too.
Matt.
Yeah?
That man you had to shoot today, his brother, is that what's on your mind?
Yeah, I suppose.
I've been thinking. You never seen him. If he does ride into town, you won't be able to recognize him, will you?
Well, let's say he'll probably be the first man who tries to shoot me in the back.
Oh, Matt.
No, don't worry about it. It's been tried before. I'm still around.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Sure.
Front Street's not very crowded tonight.
That's early. Now, wait a minute.
What is it?
Now, that man leaning up against the post up there. Wait till he turns his head. I want to get a look at him.
Someone you're after, Matt?
Yeah, there. Yeah. No, it's someone who's after me. Bulow's brother.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Sure enough to ask him, anyway. You stay here.
All right.
You looking for me, Bulow? Your name is Bulow, isn't it?
Oh. I'll bet you're him. I'll bet you're the marshal.
I am. I'll take your gun now.
Well, take it.
All right.
That won't stop me.
You'll get another gun and shoot me in the back, is that it?
Any way I can, Marshal.
Look, Bulow, your brother tried to kill me, and he'd have done it if I hadn't stopped him.
Ain't nobody kills a Bulow and gets by with it. I don't care what he done.
Well, maybe you need a few days to think it over. Maybe that'll help.
I ain't got a few days.
You have now. Turn around and walk straight ahead of me, Bulow. You're going to jail for a while.
No, I ain't done nothing.
Turn around. And get moving.
Marshal?
What can I do for you?
My name's Will Jacklin. I'm boss of the Drag Gar herd. We're holding up river. I come for Howard Bulow.
Uh-huh. I see.
Well, turn him loose.
No, I can't turn him loose.
He didn't do a thing last night. He was just standing on the street the way I heard it.
He threatened to shoot me in the back, and he says he's still going to do it.
You killed his brother, didn't you?
In self-defense.
Don't matter. You'll have to look out for yourself. But none of my men's going to lay in a Kansas jail when he ain't done nothing.
None of your men's going to walk free waiting to put a bullet in my back, either.
I got 8 men outside, Marshal. I got 10 more with the cattle. We come a long way. We had a hard drive. We're all Texans, and no Dodge City Marshal's going to rub our nose in dirt.
Nobody's trying to, Jacqueline.
It's a fine thing they hire men like you to kill cowboys on a little spree.
You call shooting me a little spree?
You could have crippled him up.
I wish that were true, but I couldn't take the chance. Another shot and he'd have killed me.
Talking's a waste of time. I want Bulow out of here.
I'll do this. I'll turn him over to you when you've sold your herd and are headed back to Texas, if you promise to keep him with you.
I want him now.
Now, not as long as he's set on killing me.
18 men I got, Marshal, not counting myself. 14 of us will be back tonight, and we'll get him.
Jacqueline, don't try it.
And after we get him, we'll really shoot your town up. You people have mistreated the last Texas cowboy you're going to. Tonight, Marshal.
Sure you won't have a beer, Matt? I'll even buy you one. Do you good?
I can't be drinking now, Doc.
Oh, Matt, I don't think they'll ride in like that tonight. Those cowboys always talk big.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they're just full of vinegar after the long drive they've had, huh? Now they want to hoop and holler something.
Bulow's full of more than vinegar, Doc.
You think so? A tooth for a tooth, huh? An eye for an eye. Oh, my, the world's got its evil ways, all right.
Marshal Dillon. Marshal Dillon. Hello, Doc.
Oh, hello, Risling.
What are you going to do about those Texans, Marshal?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Risling. I haven't given it much thought.
Well, you better start thinking, Marshal. I heard that, Jacqueline, right in here this morning. He means what he says, that man.
What did he say?
They're going to destroy Dodge. That's what he said. Him and all those wild Texans he's got.
Mr. Risling, the man I got in jail aims to shoot me from ambush if I turn him loose.
But I can't help that, Marshal.
Well, I can. And he's staying where he is until he comes to his senses.
But what about the rest of us? It's all right for you to save your own skin, but what about us? They'll shoot up the town and maybe burn my hotel down.
No, don't get all excited, Mr. Risling. It won't help matters any. Look, why don't you just forget about it? Jacqueline may never show up at all.
Oh, that's what I come to tell you.
What?
Frank Paris rode by the Dragar camp a little while ago, and he says those men were just about to leave for Dodge. That means they'll be here any minute. Now, what are you going to do?
If your family is getting weary of the same old breakfast cereal every morning, time to retire it and introduce him to New Sugar Crinkles. Say, New Sugar Crinkles is the sugar rice treat that's just right sweet. And I'm here to tell you, Sugar Crinkles make breakfast more fun than a circus. Golden crisp nuggets of sugar-coated rice, and every nugget in your breakfast bowl just right sweet. Forget your experience with sugar-coated cereals that seem too sweet, and with others that don't seem sweet enough. Treat yourself and your favorite family to New Sugar Crinkles at breakfast time and at snack time, too.
For your breakfast or a snack, you love Sugar Crinkles. Sugar Crinkles can't be beat. Sugar ice cream that's just right sweet.
With milk for the breakfast joy.
As a snack from the pack, oh boy. Can't be beat, just right sweet. Sugar Crinkles, good
to eat.
Now back to Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke.
I left the Yellow Braganza and walked over to the jail to wait for Jacqueline and his mob of cowboys. There, I tried to have a talk with Bulow. But the only response I could get out of him was the same. He was going to kill me the first chance he got. Well, maybe Doc was right. Maybe the hard life of the cattle trail did drive men a little mad. Anyway, it was a poor choice they'd given me. I didn't like it.
You be wanting a shotgun, won't you, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, thanks, Chester.
Here you are.
Chester.
Hmm?
You don't have to get mixed up in this, you know.
I know that. My. I think I'm going to take a shotgun, too.
Okay. All right, let's wait outside.
Yes, sir.
About 10 feet apart, huh?
All right, sir. There they come, Mr. Dillon. All of them.
Yeah.
Here it is, man.
Hello, Marshal.
You're acting like a fool, Jacqueline.
We'll see about that.
You make trouble here and the law will be after you wherever you go.
I don't worry none about no law. I was raised plumb free. We all were.
Yeah, sure you were. But that doesn't leave you free to form a mob, raid a jail, shoot up a town. What's the matter with you men?
What's the matter with you? You put an innocent man in jail.
Any man who wants to kill somebody isn't very innocent, Jacqueline. Do you have to wait till he does it?
I don't have to wait for nothing. Marshal, we've come for Bulow.
Let them have him, Marshal. Turn him loose. Hurry.
You keep out of this, Risewing.
He's right, Marshal. You let him go peaceable and we'll leave town. But if you make us fight, we'll go right on fighting.
Now, you heard him. He means it. Now, you do it.
Shut up, Risewing. Jacqueline, this is a shotgun I'm holding. The first move you or any of your men make, I'll cut you in two with it.
Maybe. But we're too many. You can't kill us all. You'll die, and so will your friend there. That right, men? Yeah. Texas men ain't afraid to die, Marshal. But they ain't gonna get tromped on. I'm through talking, Marshal. Get set, men. And when you finish him, go rip this town wide open. Do it for me.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go get Bulow.
All right.
Oh, thank heaven.
You used your head, Marshal. You and I had both been dead if you hadn't.
I'm not doing it because of you or me, Jacqueline. I'm doing it because too many other men would have died.
Well, it don't matter. Long as you turn him loose.
Howdy, Texas.
All right, bring him over here, Chester.
Well, I knew you couldn't keep me long, Marshal.
And you were right, Bulow.
You shouldn't have locked me up at all.
Go on back to camp. And try to do some thinking while you're there, huh?
Sure, Marshal. And you know what I'll be thinking about? You, sitting next to an open window, or walking down a dark street. I'm going to kill you yet.
Wherever he was from, whatever kind of life he'd led, Bulow was a primitive man. Somewhere he'd heard about revenge. It's a simple idea, an eye for an eye. And he took it to heart. I realize now that there was no dealing with him. The man was incapable of change. And Jacqueline wasn't much better. But I forgot about Jacqueline. It was Bulow who'd be back. Still, 2 days went by, and there was no sign of him.
there's a couple of chairs, Mr. Dillon. Let's sit there.
All right, Chester.
Well, nobody can't shoot you from here. Not unless it comes up in front.
Oh, well, it's unlikely with Bulow.
What's the matter with men like him?
I don't know, Chester. Too rough a life, maybe. The war. A lot of things.
Well, he's plumb crazy, if you ask me. Say, ain't that Miss Kitty coming up the street?
Hmm?
What's she walking so fast for?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, there you are, Matt. Hello, Chester.
Evening, Miss Kitty.
Sit down, Kitty. You wear yourself out being in such a hurry.
Matt,
all the time.
I've been looking for you everywhere.
Oh, trouble?
For you, yeah. Bulow's back in town.
Well, have you seen him?
No, Sam did. Said he stopped in for a drink a little while ago.
Is he still there?
He left, but he told Sam he's got a room at the Dodge House. He might be there.
Well, I'd like to find him before he finds me. At least we could see each other that way.
Be careful, Matt.
You better come along, Chester. Four eyes are better than two.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Kitty.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, sure.
What do you do if we find him, Mr. Dillon?
Well, it's no good talking to him anymore. Maybe I can scare him out of it somehow.
I sure hope so. The hotel looks pretty empty from here.
Evening, Marshal. Chester.
Hello, Mr. Isley.
I'm looking for Bulow. Is he here?
I don't want any shooting.
I want to know if he's here, Risling.
He went upstairs a few minutes ago, Marshal.
Which room?
Well, now, Marshal.
On the landing,
Marshal,
Mr. Dillon.
I missed him. Come on. He's in one of those rooms.
Here, we've got him now.
Yeah, but I don't know which one. You stay here, Chester. I'm going down the hall. He might come out of any one of those doors.
All right, sir.
Okay?
Yeah, it's okay, Chester.
He didn't hit you, did he?
No, he tried, but it was too late. He was already dying.
Well, I'm sure glad.
Yeah. But he died about as uselessly as a man could, Chester. For no reason at all. None at all.
In just a moment, we'll tell you about next week's adventure on Gunsmoke. If you want to be a real good scout, Mom, tell you what you do. See that your whole tribe sits down to Post Toasties for breakfast in the morning. What a way to start the day for every big and little Indian in your wigwam. You see, Post Toasties are heaped good cornflakes, spankin' fresh, crisp, with that sweet kernel corn flavor toasted right in. It's a feather in your cap to serve 'em. Sure, because Post Toasties are not only the best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it, Post Toasties are the best thing that ever happened to breakfast. And say, if you want to make a good thing even better, add your favorite fruit to that bowlful of Post Toasties, sugar, and milk. It's mighty delicious nourishment. Get Post Toasties, the heat good cornflakes, next time you shop. Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and John Dana. Polly Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kay. Ken Peters speaking. You know, you get more out of life yourself when you help others. So don't miss your greatest opportunity. Help the poor, the sick, the troubled in your community. Pledge enough to the one campaign that helps them all. Give generously to your community chest. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, meets Yorkie Kelly during his fight to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Listen next week at this time when Gunsmoke will be brought to you by Post Toasties, the Heap Good Cornflakes.
Sanka Coffee and Instant Sanka, the two delicious coffees that let you sleep, bring you Sanka Salutes. And this is Win Elliott, transcribed, saluting our people of the week, the everyday people who help make America an even nicer place in which to live. For longer than millions of us have been alive, you have been an American legend. Even though you had been in retirement since 1932, your name was never forgotten. Because you, as the poem said, were a dandy guy named Sandy. Earl Sandy, the grinning jockey who booted home three winners at the Kentucky Derby, who had ridden Man of War, who had truly been a champ. So you retired some 20 years ago and you did a lot of things. And few of them had the glitter of the legend that somehow seemed bigger and richer than ever. The big purses had mostly been spent. The big records had been broken. And so this week, at the age of 54, you, Earl Sandy, because being a jockey was the thing you did best, you went back to it. You, the great Earl Sandy, rode an ordinary horse sitting on a borrowed saddle, riding in a routine race. You took your reputation and you put it on the line. Well, you didn't win, but you didn't lose either. Your horse came in third. You rode him gallantly, and you said you'd race some more. So, Earl Sandy, whatever the odds might be, you will be the favorite with me. Welcome home, champ, with this Sanka salute. Say, you ex-GIs from World War II, this is about a pal of yours, very good pal, who was with you on the transports and at Anzio and across in the Pacific. The little guy, the honest guy, who'd walk up and say, "What's your name, soldier?" "I'm Ernie Pyle." Yes, beloved Ernie Pyle, the soldier's reporter, the man who wrote your war as you saw it. Who died as you might have died, from a sniper's bullet on a lonely, miserable road. Well, this week they dedicated a plaque in Ernie's memory at his old school, Indiana University. And a lot of big names were there. General Bradley, important editors, people like that. But you know something, fellas? Mostly you were there. All of you there in spirit. The plain GIs whom Ernie Pyle immortalized, and who will never forget him. So in your names, with the memories of Anzio and Iran and Okinawa, we send to Ernie Pyle's memory this Sanka salute.
That was episode 77 of Gunsmoke, How to Die for Nothing, with an original air date of the 10th of October, 1953. I left in all those Sanka salutes. I thought they were interesting, just as well. In the first half of the show, I played episode 47, Cyclone, an original air date of the 14th of March, 1953. And that had a message from the Kansas governor. His name is escaping me right now. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Tufts Freeform Radio here in Medford. I'll be back next week. I'm not exactly sure what I'll play. But yeah, this week I had a double billing of Norman McDonald's famous Gunsmoke series that went on to television, because I was told at one point, if I'm going to do this show, I better play westerns. Thanks for listening.